We're on page 487, 488. In the Hebrew, the first word is Vahasheni, it's just above the halfway mark. And in the English, it's the first paragraph on the left-hand side, the second type. The Alter Rebbe is discussing love of Hashem. And says that basically there are two loves of Hashem. One of them is unattainable, which is the Ava B'Tainugim, a love of delights, which is a present from above, which after a person has done all that they possibly can, Hashem cuts them some slack, and he says, here, you get to love me beyond your wildest dreams. That's the first one. Vashenis, the second one, who Ava V'Taiva. This is a love-like desire, a longing.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a difference between delight and longing. Longing means that you want to have it. Delight means you got it.
Yeah.
So this is something that everybody could have in degrees.
Okay.
This desire for godliness. Shahanefesh nis'ava v'ayahavis v'chafetzel adavka b'Hashem. That the soul desires and loves and longs to cleave to Hashem. That lotzer b'tzor achayim. To be bound in a bond of life.
Mm.
Okay, so now what this means is that a person really loves things. A person wants things that they don't have.
Yes.
Okay? It's like someone asked me, which of my children do I miss the most? So I can't tell you which child I miss the most. I can tell you which child I miss the least. That's the one that's living at home.
Right.
I don't miss her. I got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this longing, of course, is going to be based on levels of accomplishment.
Yes.
How much a person is not involved with the physical and pursuing the mundane,
yes,
is going to indicate how much the person longs for Hashem or wants Hashem. It's an inverse relationship. Wanting godliness,
yeah,
and wanting gashmis, and wanting,
yeah,
the physical.
Yeah.
So if the person, he wants, but even if a person just wants it a little bit, it's still a true thing that,
right,
he wants it a little bit to be close to Hashem.
Right.
V'karavas elokim tov lo ma'od. And the closening of to God is very good for her. Her meaning the soul.
Right.
And it desires it, and it's very bad to feel itself distanced from Hashem, Chas V'Shalom.
Mm.
Okay, because that's another thing. That's where like that level of fear would come in. Now it really wants to be close to Hashem,
yeah,
and is really afraid, terror struck,
right,
of being separated from Hashem.
Right. Right.
And what is that? What is that fear of? That fear is a manifestation of love. I love you so much that I don't want to be separate from,
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I was thinking on this, and so maybe, because that's exactly what you just said, was exactly what I was contemplating. The difference of awe and love. Awe is it's just another level of love in essence.
In this way, yeah, the way the Alter Rebbe explains it, yes, it's sort of like they go hand in hand; they're like interwoven. And
right,
he says, the Alter Rebbe says that the two primary emotions are love and fear,
right,
and all the other emotions are derived from them.
Right.
And he says awe is derived from love.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
love is the primary motivator.
Is the factor.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah.
Okay. Umachitza shel barzel mehachitzanim asekes chas v'shalom, and he's afraid that an iron wall will separate between him, which this iron wall is actually caused by himself.
Yeah.
Chas v'shalom, because it says that if even an iron curtain can't separate a Jew from Hashem, only his sins can separate him. So
right,
what does that mean? That the sins would be similar to an iron wall.
Right.
And that would definitely separate the person from Hashem. And the person is afraid of that.
Right.
Now, he says, V'avazu, he misses Teres Belev Klal Yisrael. This love is hidden in the heart of all Jews. He says, he talks about in chapter 19, way back when in Tanya, he discusses what's the Ava Mesuteris, that the Ava Mesuteris is the candle inside the person, which is drawing them or propelling them closer to Elokus.
Mm.
And just as it is, like, for example, a candle, which is constantly flickering to dry, to get off of its wick, and to go return back to the source of fire, from whence fire comes. So the soul is also trying to leave the body and to cleave and to go back to its source. And that this... what is it that causes this to occur is the person's not even aware of it themselves. This is a subconscious level of love of Hashem.
Oh.
When he uses the expression Ahava Misuteris, which Ahava Misuteris doesn't mean hidden love exactly. Right. That would be Avas Nister.
Right.
Ahava Misuteris means a love that hides itself.
A subconscious.
Meaning, it never comes to the forefront.
To the surface, right.
Right. So even at, like I say, a time of martyrdom, he talks about in chapter 19, that a person would give up his soul, even though he's been a boor and an amaretz, he'd give up his life.
Yeah.
And it's not because of anything that he learns, and it's not anything he understands. And he's not, if you asked him right now, do you feel any difference in your relationship to Hashem right this second as we're about to blow your head off? He would say, I don't feel any different, because... No. So why is he allowing himself this to happen? Is because the love is a subconscious love, and it remains in that subconscious state.
Right.
And at time of need and duress, so it will propel the person to get closer to Hashem.
Right.
But not in a way that the person could even explain it themselves. Because it's what the Alter Rebbe calls it, a hidden love.
Yeah. Yeah.
One hidden love which can't be revealed.
Can't be revealed.
Uh-huh. Can't.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It can be expressed. It can push the person.
Yeah.
But the person never is never aware of it.
Uh-huh. So it's not of a quality that you try to bring it out, is it? Only that it helps you to bring about a consciousness.
What it does is it never lets you get far away. The Ava Mesuteris never lets you fall off the deep end.
Right, but in the case of someone who is consciously making effort to connect, it would seem as though that this does have some impelling force, doesn't it? Even in that?
Yeah.
Or no.
Yeah, it's impelling. Yes, but if you ask the person, why are you doing this?
Yeah, no, okay.
They won't know.
Right, okay. In the case of a person who's actively pursuing Hashem, is the hidden love a factor in causing the person to...
I don't think so, because if you look back at chapter 19,
yeah,
he says, therefore we call this love of the godly soul that its will and desires to cleave to Hashem, the life of life, we call it Ava Mesuteris, a love which conceals itself.
Okay.
Because it's concealed and covered over by the klippa in the negligent of Yisrael, from this cover, a person's able to sin. As it says, it's the only time a person sins is if he's folly.
Lost his mind.
Yeah. Ela shegalis azehu lebuchinus hachachma ena ela lebuchinus hispashtis meman of a nefesh kulo lacha yoisa. Then he talks about the galus itself. It says the ikur never goes into galus. The main root of chachma, of the godly soul, is in the brain, and it's not enclosed in this sack of klippa.
This garment. Okay.
It's only its sleep. And a person can able to, at times of duress, to wake it up when he comes to a test, for example, which is beyond intellect. Now, since it's beyond intellect, so now the subconscious level of love can kick in. Since he's not working with his intellect, so subconscious is not intellect. That's a soul desire, an expression of true Ratzayin, which is an expression of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because more than anything else, what is it that a person wants? The person wants to survive. And so this may sound backwards, but the neshama realizes that if it's going to acquiesce to the demands of this person who is pointing a gun at him, so his soul is not going to survive. So that's why the soul kicks in and says, I'm not doing that.
Right.
My body, like the Friedrich Rebbe said, my body you can only kill once.
Right. 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 Right.
You know, so I'm not going to give in to that because the soul understands, and that doesn't make any sense. Okay? But the martyrdom makes no sense. Right. It makes sense that a person bow down, pretend to bow down,
and
walk away.
It proves we're spiritual creatures.
Yeah. And like this, so now this is what we mean. That's what it means, what the Alter Rebbe means when he says, Ahava Mesuteris.
Yeah.
A hidden love that the person isn't even aware that they have. Right. Yet, it's the impetus behind what it is that they're doing to propel them to get closer to Elokus. And what is it that you can be cognizant of it, that you got it, is by martyrdom. Lolaidam. Okay? Because why else besides a love for Hashem would a person allow themselves to be martyred?
Right. So it can't... Well, that's a different issue. That must be a different question then.
V'zu... V'avazu... First one, that's Chas Hashem. V'avazu... Yeah. Va'avazu misuteres b'lev klal Yisrael. This love is hidden within the recesses of the hearts of every Jew. Afilu b'rashoyim, even in wicked people.
Yeah.
That the whole day long they're doing things in opposition to Hashem, and then suddenly it comes to a test of their belief in Hashem. So then they wake up. Okay. Like the story of Yossel Aganef, we've told that one, I think, three or four times. You know what, the Shpreil Lizeh is buried next to Yossel Aganef. You know the story, yeah?
Say.
Yeah, you know it. We know it. Everybody knows it. And there are other similar stories to that, that a person is living his whole life, he's not thinking about Elokus, and then when push comes to shove, suddenly he wakes up.
Right.
Gael Ozer ben Dodai, who cried himself to death after doing every sin. This type of a stuff. Omenu ba... Lehem hacharata. And that's where a feeling of remorse comes from. It's from this hidden love. I did something which was in opposition to Elokus. And I feel really bad about it. Why is it that the person feels bad about it? Because the person realizes the separation. That this misdeed has caused.
Right. Yeah.
And where does he feel it? He feels it really far down deep.
Yeah.
Okay, a person talked in davening. Does he feel like he's separated from Hashem? No. But, I use that example because it's just so radical. But, everybody does it. You know, suddenly a person's going to say, oh gosh, I've talked, they're going to read Siman 24 of Agaris HaKadosh. It talks that a person in Shul pushes away Kol Kaima Yaitzer Breshis. He pushes away the entire Shechina out of the Beis HaMedrash when he's talking in Shul. And a person reads that and he goes, oh my goodness, what have I been doing? And suddenly he's like throwing himself on the floor and crying. I haven't seen that yet happen anytime. I probably won't expect to see it anytime soon either. But so at some point the person feels bad that they themselves, of their own fault, created their... this obstacle which is getting in the way of their relationship with Hashem. This is the iron curtain that he talked about before.
Yeah.
That he himself put it, he has no one to blame except himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Hashem said, you know what, we're going to put an iron curtain between you and me. No. Hashem never does that.
No, it's only us.
Okay? Hashem will give a person, oh, look how good he's good. I'll give him an extra gift. I'll get him to work. He'll be able to do even better. That Hashem does. But to take away, Hashem doesn't take away.
Yeah.
Okay, what we are given, Hashem lets us keep.
It's incredible.
Okay,
stuff.
And what we muck up, we muck up.
Yeah.
We can't blame ourselves. There's a story with Rabbi Meir, was very poor, and his wife said, why don't you go daven?
Yeah.
So he davened, and he got a gold table lake that came out from the sky, you know the story,
right? Right.
Okay, and they take it back.
Take it back.
And they say that the greatest miracle was that the hand came back and took it back.
Yeah.
Because give, Hashem gives.
Yeah.
But to take away for no reason, there's no reason to take it away.
Yeah, yeah.
You got it already. It's a good thing. You got it. Yeah, is it a good thing? They had it? Yeah, it's a good thing. It's what you asked for.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hashem doesn't take away. The fact that Hashem took away, it's a bigger deal. So Hashem, and it's not a normal thing. That's why it mentions it in the Gemara.
Yeah.
So the Hashem is not going to suddenly put an iron curtain between him and the Jew.
Right.
Well, the Jew has to put the iron curtain between him and Hashem.
Yeah.
That's why a person suddenly now feels charata. He feels a sense of remorse.
Yeah.
It's because look what a mess I made. But because this love is concealed and covered and is in exile in the body. The word exile means it's not able to express itself.
Yeah.
So the Rebbe used to talk about the difference between galus and geula. The only difference is the aleph in the word itself. Galus doesn't have an aleph and geula has an aleph.
Yeah.
And the aleph represents the revelation of Hashem.
Yeah.
What is it that makes galus galus? There's no revelation of Hashem.
Right.
So like this, a person has a godly soul. Where is the godly soul in their body?
Right.
Why isn't it that our bodies don't shine like Moshe's did?
It's not revealed.
Is because our soul is in galus. It's not in the reveal. It's not in geula. I didn't see any place that when Mashiach comes, we're all going to start shining like the sun. That's not anything anything written, but there shouldn't be any reason why it shouldn't at that point, because there'll be nothing concealing. There'll be no concealment at that point.
I'm guessing that's similar to the crown that Moshe had.
Mm-hmm.
That crown was ore.
It was light.
Because he wasn't concealing it.
His body did not conceal his soul. That's
right. I'm guessing it.
So now, because there's no revelation of godly soul, it's all covered over, it's beschmutzed by the body. So now we've leveled the playing field, which is why this happens to begin with. Because what would be, we know, for example, the animal soul comes in first, and then 13 years later, the godly soul comes in. Why can't it be that they come in both at the same time? It's because it wouldn't be fair to the animal soul. If a godly soul and animal soul entered the body exactly the same time, the animal soul would have no possibility of dominion whatsoever over the body.
Is there any possibility we could debate this at this juncture in time with Hashem? Rework that plan a little, maybe?
No. And the reason being is Hashem doesn't want you to be a tzaddik.
I know.
If you want to be a tzaddik, then you have to work.
You got to be at that.
You got to get it. Hashem
That's
said,
right.
I got enough people born on the top of the mountain that don't have to work on themselves.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are not working on themselves, but everybody else. Hashem made us the way that we are.
Yes,
he made it such that the godly soul is handicapped.
And that's a good thing.
So that there can be an equal back and forth between the animal soul and the godly soul. And that gives us free choice.
Yes, it does.
And that gives us a place for schar va'einish, for reward and punishment.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we have the ability to accomplish.
Yes.
And our ability to accomplish is looked upon as a great thing. Every time we do something which makes the world a little more godly, Hashem just gives a giant yes. Makes it all worthwhile. That the whole entire creation is worth it. That this person should do something to remove some of the darkness of the world and reveal a little godliness.
Yeah.
And it could be just a very little bit. Hashem says, it's all worth it. I'm glad I did this. So the body now has the ability to cover over it, and the klippa to rule over the soul. That's called the spirit of folly, which causes a person to sin.
Yeah.
Is because they're now on an even playing field by virtue of the fact that the animal soul was handicapped. So the animal soul is now able to voice its opinion. Okay, because if not, the noise that your godly soul would make would totally completely drown out your animal soul. You wouldn't hear, should I do this? Nah, don't do that, do this. Okay, if your animal soul and godly soul were on the same level, the only thing you would hear is the one voice, do this. The don't do this would be totally, completely drowned out. You wouldn't hear a thing. Maybe a little background noise, yeah. Maybe.
Squeak.
But like this, the animal soul says its thing, and the animal soul, you know, it gives a convincing argument, and for the very often even gets to go first. And the godly soul says, no, that's not what we're going to do. We have to do what it says in the books, and we're going to do this to make the world a better place to live, and that's why we're here. And so now we have a place, a room for a battle. Mm-hmm. That's why it is that this job of every person for his maker is to strengthen himself and to dominate himself over the forces of evil, with everything, from everything, everything. That Bako Mikoko, we say that in benching, Bako Mikoko, Ken Yavarech, but those are, Bako was said to Abraham.
Right.
It says, Avraham, Vayivarech Elohim as Avraham Bakel, and Hashem blessed Avraham
in all things,
with everything.
Yeah.
And then there's a pasuk by Yitzchak, it says Hashem was blessed Mikol from Kol Shetasa. He was blessed from everything that he did.
Yes.
And then Yaakov, in response to Esav's saying, "I have a lot, Yeshli Rav," Yaakov Avinu said, "Yeshli Kol."
Right.
I have everything already, which is on a better level than Avram or Yitzhak, because Avram and Yitzhak were just derivatives. Bakol with. Everything,
yeah.
Mikol, from everything. He didn't have from everything or with everything. He had the everything.
Had the everything, right.
They just had little shtickalachs of everything.
Yeah.
Says, what's the first order of business? The first order of business is that a person has to dominate over the forces of evil, his evil desires, his evil traits, and to banish it from his body completely, so as not to think about it, not to speak about it, not to do anything about it. And there's no trace of his animal soul, not, or the evil, his Yetzer Hara rather, not in his brain, not in his mouth, not in his other 248 limbs. That va'acharkach Yochel gam kein lahitziya mamaskara sura b'chazik yad. Then what can happen then is he's able to go out of his prison with a strong hand. Because once a person gets a grasp on it, so then the body doesn't become counterproductive to the soul.
Right.
In other words, what is it that we're trying to work at? Is we're trying to get it such that our body and our soul works in harmony.
In harmony. Right.
And that there is no opposition one to the other, the body going this way and the soul going this way. We want them to work together. And that the soul convinces the body this is the way to go. And to do that, it would have to convince the animal soul also, by the way. Because the godly soul can't move a body.
Right.
It doesn't relate to body. It relates to godliness. Right. It has to direct the animal soul. By the way, wiggle your finger now.
Yeah. The order here, it says the faculties of thought, speech, and action.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming the order's that put it that way on purpose.
I would think so.
And that,
I mean, you want to say that it's easier to stop doing things wrong than to.
No, not necessarily. The question is. Normally, it is approached that way, that we, you know, we're our actions, then our speech, then our thought. But I see that it's Dafka put this way, and I'm
mm-hmm.
The point being is that it's not merely just because he felt like writing it that way.
You could say Lozu Avsa. Not only is it from his thought, but also from his brand, from his speech, and also from his action. His action.
Right.
Okay, because there is a way to consider that thinking something wrong is worse than doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Because the thinking something wrong, without going to the psychology and all that type of stuff, to keep it in the Tanya jargon, is that the garment of thought is closest to the neshama.
Right.
So when it gets all mucky, So how bad do you feel when your undershirt is wet as opposed to, say, your raincoat?
Right.
Your raincoat's getting soaked. It's getting pounded with water.
But you're still dry.
You can handle it. Your raincoat is wet.
Right.
Okay? Your wife tells you, hang that thing up outside. Right. Don't bring that into the house.
Right.
Okay? Go right away to the bathroom.
Right.
Okay? Because this thing is just wet. But you're okay.
Right.
That's mysa. But
right.
If you got so wet that your undershirt was wet, you're just miserable.
Yucky, yeah. Exactly.
Even if you just got caught and say, like, a quick 30-second downpour.
Yeah.
Okay, there you are. Like, you ever go to Miami at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you walk the streets, and you get hit with the 3 o'clock in the afternoon moisture falling out of the sky, which is what happens every day at 3 o'clock because it gets so much humidity built up in the air, it has to fall down.
Really?
Yep. Right. And it comes down as this torrential rain.
Yeah.
And then it starts as it lasts 10, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it starts all over again. The sun comes out and starts cooking up all the water that fell out of the sky.
Right.
And it evaporates again and starts the whole thing over. So that by tomorrow around 3 o'clock, the whole thing falls out of the sky again because it can't hold all that moisture.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. It's a swamp. It's a swamp in a hot area.
Good luck with that, yeah.
Yeah. So
people like to live there?
Not me. No thanks.
No thanks.
Okay. The high hills of Gershom are good for the gun. He drives it out of his brain, his mouth. I don't know why it says lushan instead of mouth. Because lushan is what you'd speak with.
Right.
Okay, if you didn't have a tongue, you wouldn't be able to talk.
Mm.
So, but if you didn't have a mouth, you wouldn't be able to talk either. So, you have to put your tongue. But he says, no, it's like the word lushan means language, you know, so it's recognized in Hebrew that the main part of the main thing that you need for speaking is a tongue that happens to waggle just the right way.
Yeah.
Then, once he's done that, and he's driven the forces of evil from his body, so now he's able to bring this, the godly soul, which has been imprisoned, and with take it out with a strong hand. That means to say that he should have strength and courage in his heart, and that their might, that there should be this hidden love should come out in a revealed way. So that his whole entire body gets charged. Okay, that's the way that this person now is expressing the second love of Hashem. Remember, we said this is all based on what the person themselves is doing and establishing this relationship to Hashem, that the person has this love of Hashem, that they realize that they have to do more to get closer to Hashem. So that the hidden love should come out in a revealed way.
Right.
In an awesome revealed way. With all the parts of the soul, which are in the body, all 613 soul parts should illuminate and charge up the body. That the main thing, first of all, this is probably going to answer your question. The main thing, first of all, is with the intellect and the thought that's in his brain.
Yeah.
Because you can't turn your thoughts off.
Right.
So you have to redirect that your thoughts so that they're thinking the right way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Use brain and tummy to be constantly thinking about it.
If you get that one corrected, the rest follows.
Oh yeah. If you can make it such that your mind is constantly focused on godliness.
The thing is, we can't.
Then you are, you'll sit here and I'll sit there.
Okay.
And you can do the talking.
We can do this.
No.
No, we can't do this? We can do this.
You could do this.
Can
this is all something you could do.
Can be done.
Yep.
It's a great deal of work.
Yeah, of course.
It's a great deal of work. But it can be done.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It's what it takes is patience, ability,
and diligence,
and knowledge.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You can't just say, I'm not going to think about something right now.
No, you got to put something
there. You have to put something there to think about.
Something there. That's right.
So we want this person to be thinking about Torah thoughts. That's why I mentioned this last week. I mentioned it the week before. Of all the subjects that are mentioned in Hayom Yom, learning Torah by heart, so that you go out in the street and be able to review it, is mentioned more than any other subject in the whole entire Hayom Yom. 382 or 83, whatever, entries, and the one that takes up the most space, it's like four entries to talk about, which doesn't sound like a whole lot, four at 180, whatever, 183, but it's a lot more than one if you're talking about other subjects that are only mentioned once.
Right.
So this is mentioned, the idea of going out into the world and having what to say. Keep the mind busy, instead of to purify the air, and you should have whatever intention you're having by doing it. Says that pretty much does it for us.
Yeah, that's a huge deal.
Sure you lips.
So I guess on a lower level, that's why it's also good to have a niggun.
Yeah, that keeps your mind in the focus a little bit.
Yeah. Even that's better than just an Irish kite.
Yeah. Achagach Yochel Gam Kim Lo Heitziyam Amaskir Oser B'choizik Yad, I just said that. Dehayin Liyais Chazak V'Ametz Libay B'Giburim Liyais Avim Esoteres V'Niglis B'Gilei Rav V'Kol Koichais Chelke Anafesh Shabaguf. That means to say that he should be strong, he can encourage himself in his heart with the strength to be, to have of this Avid Mr. Terror should be revealed in an awesome and an awesome revelation with all of his powers and all the portions of his soul in the body. So to what we said at the beginning, so he's it's causing him to get in the groove.
Right.
But if you're talking about the translation of Avid Mr. Terror, it itself is not really ever, you can't put your finger on what it is, but you know you can follow its trait. You can follow its tracks.
Tracks, right.
Okay,
right.
Because now he's cooking on all eight cylinders. So he's here in the groove.
Here it would imply that even when you are searching, that it's an impelling force also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you searching? Exactly. This is what's pushing you.
Right. So that it would, yeah. As opposed to what we thought earlier, where it was just hidden, but here it seems that it's an impelling force also.
Yeah, but you can't put your finger on what.
No,
it is.
No. It's.
Right. If you want to ask me what did I become from, I said, I really can't tell you why I became from. It was sort of like I was just riding a wave, is what the way I felt.
Yeah.
You know, just okay, I'll do this now. And after I got through doing that, okay, I'll do this now. It seems good.
It's kind of like you just couldn't help it.
Yeah, it's just sort of like, you know, I was riding a wave. That's the way I felt. Okay, and every once in a while, when I see like a plateau and where I'm up to, I said, well, let's see where the wave's going to take me next.
Exactly.
You know, I'm still riding the wave. I'm just kind of trying to stand up on that surfboard.
Yep.
That's the best I can do.
That's all we're expected to do.
Maybe just hang on for dear life.
Indeed.
Never mind standing. Just hang on.
Yeah.
You have to get swamped and try not to wipe out.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. The Pelagos are going to help you on Nefesh of a group. The Hainu Ha'iker. The main thing being is that it should affect the person's intellect. Yeah. If a person can put themselves in the right groove to be thinking the right thing, then what happens is the rest is easy.
Yeah.
You might say, listen, it's much easier for me to control my actions. Because like this, I have a whole list of things I can do, and I have a whole list of things I can't do. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to stick to the things I can do and never do the things I can't do. Okay? It's all very ordered and plotted out. And between you and me, that's really the only thing that matters, as we learned in the chapters of Tanya from like chapter 35 through 40, where he talks about the importance of doing mitzvahs.
Right.
Okay, so there the main thing is doing. But, I'll think of it this way. If a person's able to control what they're thinking, so then everything else comes automatically.
Right, right.
Because if he's only thinking what he's supposed to be thinking, he'll only be talking what he's only supposed to be talking. He'll only be doing what he's supposed to be doing, because that's the only thing that he's aware of. It's the only thing in his world.
If you're just trying to control your actions and your mind is somewhere else, it'll eat you up.
Yeah.
It'll eat you alive.
Yeah. You know, then you have to go back to like chapter 27 of Tanya. I'm trying so hard, I'm not getting anywhere.
Right, right, right.
And he says, no, that's, you know, that's your lot. Live with it, buddy.
Yeah.
So, but it would be much easier to achieve control of your machshava, dibur, and maisa if you started with your machshava first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And say, you know what? I'm only going to think the right things.
It's a hard work.
And Hashem gives you, it's not supposed to be easy.
It's a hard work. It's a good work, though.
Okay, Yechashav Yisbayin Tami Kefi Sichlo V'Haskalos V'Bar Yisbar. He's constantly thinking about Hashem. Okay, look at the story when Yevhin was on his deathbed and he told his students, your fear of God should be equal to your fear of man. Yeah. Because people don't do anything when someone else is watching. So what does that mean? That the person has to be constantly aware of Hashem's presence in their life.
Yes. Yes.
So it's not that they're doing, it's not that they're not doing something because they realize that Hashem is looking at them. They're aware of Hashem's presence. It's, I'm aware of Hashem's presence, therefore I'm only going to do the right thing.
Right.
It happens automatically.
Yeah.
Okay, which is the Hasidic approach is, we don't want to have to discuss the what if the bad thing happens. If you focus on doing the right thing, then the bad thing won't happen.
There's no what ifs.
Eif shehu chaya chayim, how you're thinking about how Hashem is the life of life, v'chlal, v'chay nishmasi v'prad, and how Hashem is my life. What's my life? What's my neshama? It's Hashem, that spark of godliness that's inside of me. This is all one big sentence that he said till now. That he said the second type of love was to be able to want to cleave to Hashem. So what does it mean to want to come to cleave to Hashem? Is that, as we just said on the whole entire previous page. Okay, to understand that it's possible for the Chitzonius forces to separate between him, and he's going beyond that, and he's only focusing on Hashem a whole day. And like the yearning, the natural yearning of a son who yearns constantly to be near his father. And like fire, which is constantly rising upward to go back to its source.
Right.
So too also the person wants to constantly try to get closer to their source, which is in Hashem. And how much diligence and how much effort and how much importance a person puts on this idea of pursuing Elokus, that's how much is going to be able for his godly soul to dominate and spread out into his body. Gamba pi v'kol evarev, not only just in his thought, but also in his mouth and in his all his body parts. Lo'esek b'teira and mitzvahs l'dafka b'ham mamash, b'havai mamash, to occupy in the study of Torah and the mitzvahs, and to cleave through them to Hashem. D'raisek u'shevichu kul echad, because when you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing Hashem. When you're learning Torah, you're learning Hashem, because Hashem and the Torah is all one thing, and that's what the person's yearning for now. And when this yearning is in a revealed state in enough of an intensity, we call that the soul thirsts for godliness. Like a person who is thirsty for water. He's just got the longing. He doesn't have the water.
for him to say ah, he has to have the water. That would be the Abba B'tai Nugim. But now he just has a yearning because he's yearning for water. Yeah? The Gamal Kaysiv Zeva Abazum is a terrorist banu anu masi matirim lashem liyais bazraine. And because of this love, we, which is hidden inside of us, we turn to Hashem, we plead to Hashem for Hashem to help us. Lahitziyam umaskir, to take us out of our prison. And guess what? Hashem doesn't take anybody out until they ask.
Yeah.
If you haven't got the wherewithal to say, God, you know, life stinks, and I really need to be put in a better situation, Hashem says, what does he know? He's happy the way he is? We'll leave him the way he is. Okay, but a person realizes, hey, you know, this is missing a lot of, some lot of serious spirituality over here. We need to be boosting it up at least.
Yeah.
And that his soul should be full of the love of Hashem. And he shouldn't bring his own nonsense into the house, which this is the worldly pleasures. But he has to be used as the example. The godly soul is the Akeris Habayis, the mainstay of the house, which is reserved for the woman of the house.
Yeah.
The woman is called the Akeris Habayis, the mainstay of the house. So now, our house, our body is called a house. It's supposed to be a house for Hashem. So what's the mainstay? What's the Akeris Habayis? What's the main part that of the godly soul? Is that it's there, Lim Shol B'Tzarasai, to rule over its rival, meaning the animal soul. And to push it out of its thought, speech, and action, and just relegate it to the unconscious. I'll call upon him at least. If he wants to do more, he could do more. If he could do more. Even he'll never be able to push it out away from his heart. I'll call upon him to you, Mr. Teres, who is Golas, Vavoyus, Laakris, Lakaris, Abais, the Gevirtu, Lishtamishba, Ledvarim, Hakarachim, La. And then again, ending on a long sentence. It says, not to enter the rival into the house, which is the pleasures of the world. It doesn't say that we should live a life of denial. It says we should not have pleasure in our utilization.
Correct.
That's the main thing of the house, is to rule over its rival and to drive her out from the thought, speech, and action.
Do you own it, or does it
own you? At least.
Right.
Even though you can't send it out completely from his heart, meaning to say, if you could hate it, pull it out completely from his heart, it'd be a tzaddik, it wouldn't be a
bein.
Right. But at least he could keep checks and balances over it. Wow. And the main thing is that the mainstay of the house is to occupy with physical things only as much as you require them to live.
Right.
We don't need to live a life of luxury. As it says about eating and drinking, that you should know Hashem in all your paths, even when you're eating and drinking.
Right.
Okay, to sum up, there's lots of levels of love. He breaks it down into two. One you're going to get, one you have to work really hard to get.
Yeah.
Okay, the one that you're never going to get is a present from above.
Yeah.
And it's up to Hashem to say, oh, this guy, he did okay, I'm going to give him a present from above. The other one is this natural yearning that the person feels they're missing something. So for that person also, Hashem could say, okay, you feel like you're missing something? Come here. I'll take good care of you outside your body.
Yeah.
You know, so to be continued.
Very good.
Any questions?